years of triumph, now we would hear from you. You would speak to us. Speak to us that we would hear from you. Silence all of the things around us and draw us in. Let us sit at your feet and hear again what you are saying to the church. And then, Lord, when we are dismissed from this place, but never your presence, send us that we might tell others of what we have heard, know, and now believe. And Lord, I pray that you forgive us all of our sins, that you would have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen, amen. Grab your Bibles, the book of James in the fourth chapter, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Again, we are in the third leg of cultivating the character of the post-Calvary church. And today we want to talk about getting in position, understanding our position. We started conversation about praise. We talked last week about purpose. And today we want to talk about position. James chapter 4. And I want to read just a few verses. We're actually going to build on verses 4 through verse 10, but I'll lift up just a few verses. Amen. James chapter 4, a New Testament of your Bible, toward the very back there. If you need some help getting there, table of contents would help you pull your app up. It'll draw right down to James chapter 4. New Living Translation Bible is what I have opened in our hearing today. Amen. James 4. Verse 7 says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. God bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's about position. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. And thank you, choir. Thank you, people of God. Again, this is the third leg of our conversation about cultivating the character of the post-Calvary church. And today we want to talk about position. There's a simple verse that I've used in my own position orientation that has helped me. And I believe God it'll help you today. It has helped me both to maintain and motivate myself. And I really believe, I'm a firm believer that if you intend to help anybody, the first help ought to be to yourself. Amen. And there have been times in my life, and I know sometimes people look at preachers, pastors, and some of you even look at me and think that everything's just fine and nothing ever happens to pastor and everything in his house is always wonderful and his life is just perfect, and that's just not true. For me, there are highs and lows. There are moments of mediocrity, and there are moments of magnificence. And the struggle with me is I can't control them at all. I wish I could control the highs. I wish I could control the lows. I wish I could control the magnificence and avoid the mediocrity and the melancholy, but I cannot. And so this verse has always helped me because there are times in my life when things have been unwelcome, unwarranted, unthinkable, but they happen anyhow. And so it is for me, even when vision and ambition were my intention, things happen. The course gets altered, and God doesn't always do what I want God to do. Amen. And so for me, this verse has happened, and it is Psalm 37. You don't have to turn to it, but I'll read the part that matters just for the sake of our few minutes together. And that is that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. that has helped me. It has helped me more than medication could have helped me. It has helped me more than the well wishes of family and friends. The Word of God has helped me. And it's my intention to help you to understand that as you're struggling with position, that's what's going to help you. The Word of God is going to help you. You don't need to go to another think tank. You don't need to sign up for another pep rally, but you need the Word of God to help you. And I just believe that when you look to the hills from which cometh your help, you ought to look for the Word. There's always a Word from God that's going to help you. And so I want to look at a character, and I'll get out the way, but I want to look at a character, in fact, two characters. James is our reference point, but I want to use as a reference person Elijah, the man of God. Elijah is the man of God and shows up in a strange and unorthodox way. In fact, nobody knows where he really comes from other than he's from Tishba, which is a town, a small place. Not even a big place. It's not really a place where one would expect the prophet of God. But he shows up, and even the way that he's announced to us, even if you consider his biblical presence, it proves that God knows how to work our position. Amen. Some of us sitting here right now know that we did not come from a pedigree. We did not come from a special lineage of folk. In fact, some of us may be even the first in our family, maybe the first that went to college, the first that finished high school, the first that made it through grade school. There's a lot of firsts in this room even right now. But let me help you celebrate your firstness by understanding that your firstness is about the favor of God and your position. Yeah, God put you where he put you so he can use you best. Okay, I thought I'd get a better response to that. Let me help you understand that none of you are an accident. None of you are just fortunate, or none of you are just lucky, but you are the favor of God, and God has put you in designated and determined position. Okay, you still don't feel it. You are right where you are because that's where God wants you to be. Now, I know some of you may think, no, Reverend, I could have been further along the road. I could have been better. Well, that's because you might have missed your earlier position. Okay. Let's put it this way. If you've ever rode the train out of Lynchburg, how many of you ever rode the train out of Lynchburg? You know, there's a schedule. The schedule said the train will depart from Lynchburg Station at a designated time. That's its position. But if it ever falls out of position on its way to Lynchburg, it's constantly changing the schedule, but it'll still be in the same position. Okay, you still missed it. There are but one set of tracks that train can travel on. It doesn't matter what time it travels along the tracks, it's still designated to travel along those tracks. I just read it to you in Psalm 37. Your steps are ordered by God. You may fall behind schedule, but where you are, that's your position. Okay. Oh, three of y'all getting that. Don't ever underestimate what God is doing in your life. Even if God had to alter the schedule, he still knows how to put you in position. Say amen, somebody. And so it is with Elijah, and I like him because he just shows up. He just shows up. And when he shows up, God starts to use him immediately. Amen. And what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying to some of you is, if you really want God to use you, just show up. Okay, you missed it. Just show up. You may not be with the same group you started with, but if you just show up, God can use you. Okay, if you'll just show up, if you'll just take the chance of moving one foot in front of the other, I just told you your steps are ordered by God. If you'll just show up, God can use you. Amen. You got to at least take the initiative, the energy, the investment of getting in position. Amen. God can use you right there. Okay, go stand over there. God can use me up here. Well, go stand up there. God can use me. Whatever you intend, whatever you invest, Whatever you imply, God heard you. And if you will use me, God, I'll be used. But you've got to at least show up so God can use you. Elijah shows up. He steps out of nowhere. And in short order, he becomes one of the most intriguing servants of God in our biblical history. We know about Elijah. His story, he's a nomad traveler, really. Again, no real place of origin, but God is using him as an original. Okay, y'all missed that. You are looking at Elijah, who shows up. He's cunning. He has a certain way about himself, but it's all because he allows God to use him. Yeah, he lets God use him. He doesn't have anything else to rely on. And let me say this, Lewis. I know this is going to go over like a ton of bricks falling off the wall, but you gotta get to the point in your life where you realize that you have nobody else to rely on but God. You don't have anybody. I know some of you think you got your health, you got your strength, you got your youth, you got your job, you got your husband, you got your boo, you got all of that. None of that ain't going to do nothing. The only person you can truly rely on is God. Here's what the writer said. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Nobody else's name is there. Not mama. Not, those are wonderful people. I'm not trying to discount them. I'm not trying to disturb your relationship. But you need to move your mind to the place where you realize that if it had not been the Lord, I would have nothing. Y'all might have quiet. Elijah comes along and he realizes that I've got to give myself over to God, and only when I give myself to God can I face the challenges that lie in front of me. Amen. You do know that there are going to be some days. Yeah, there are going to be some days for all of us when the challenges will come. And challenges don't necessarily make an appointment with us. Confrontation doesn't make an appointment with us. Calamity doesn't make an appointment with us. A change of course doesn't make an appointment with us. These things will happen. In fact, Jesus says, Lewis, in this life, you're going to have some trouble. Amen. Look at a neighbor and say, I know that's right. Elijah comes along. See, and I like him because of Scott. He's a guy that realizes that a lot of what happens to me, I didn't do it to myself. Can I show it to you? If you look in 1 Kings chapter 18, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you right quick. Obadiah has been trying to get Elijah to show up as proof verification that there is such a man of God. And Ahab sends Obadiah and says, bring him here. And Obadiah chases Elijah all over the place. And finally, when Obadiah is able to get Elijah to go and see Ahab, first thing he said to him is, man, don't fool me this time. Because you have a way of disappearing. You have a way of being in one place today, and when people look for you there, you gone. And I told Ahab that I can make you show up, and you said you were going to be one place, and I brought him, and you wasn't there. You said you were going to do this thing, and you wasn't there. And so he said to him, don't fool me this time. And Elijah said, I ain't got no problem with you. He said, go get him. Let him know I'm there. And the first thing Ahab says to him, Yvette, is, oh, troublemaker of Israel. That's the first thing he called. He doesn't even introduce himself nicely. He immediately throws conflict and challenge in Elijah's face. And Elijah looks at him and said, listen, I'm not the trouble. The trouble is you and your family are the troublemakers. And look what he says, Candace. He says, because you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshiped images of Baal instead of God. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me help you understand why some of y'all are in trouble. Read my, some of y'all are in trouble and out of position and lack purpose and lack praise is because you have failed to obey the commands of God. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You have worshiped your car and you worship your house and worship your job and worship your good looks. You have put a whole lot of stuff in front of God, and now that trouble has come, you mad at the man of God or the word of God when in fact you're the source of your own trouble. Ain't nobody talking to me. He said, no, I'm not the problem. You upset with me. I'm the man of God. I bring tidings of good news and joy. But your problem is you and your family have put God in a basement and put Baal at the top of the pole. A whole lot of us worship the wrong thing. See how everybody looking at me? We worship a whole lot of the wrong things. And until you put God where God ought to be, not only is God out of position, but you're out of position. Come on, talk to me. History shows Elijah, shortly after this conflict with Ahab, he goes into a ministry work. And the record records that 850 false prophets. A lot of y'all talk about the 450. No, you need to read your Bible. There are 450 prophets of Baal and 400 of Asherah. That's 850 if you do math. See, that's what's wrong with us sometimes. We don't read part of the story, and you walk around here quoting and giving that man half the credit for what he did. It wasn't no 450. It was 850. That's a big number right there. And it is there when Elijah becomes human like we are. Because shortly after this great ministry work, the Bible says that Elijah got scared. Y'all missed it right there. Y'all missed it right there. I can tell the way y'all looking at me. Y'all missed it right there. The problem is not that we have not performed in ministry. The problem is not that there isn't ministry to perform. The problem is too many of us are scared. Larry, see how they looking at me? Too many of us are scared. God has been too good in your life. God has brought you through too much. Brought you over too much, got you out of too much for you to be scared just because of conflict, just because of a challenge, just because of a threat or some innuendo or some implication. Let me tell you something. The God you serve not only hears what you hears, but can do something for you do it. The Jezebels in your life ain't no real threat to you. The same God that brought you to the point of conflict with Jezebel is the same God that will make you a conqueror over Jezebel. You just got to stay in position. Here's what Elijah does, Elizabeth. He runs. Whenever you run, you got to be careful about getting out of position. When you shrink back because you're a coward, when you shrink back because you don't want to be alone or you don't want to be the only one, You need to understand that there are not any other persons like you in the whole world. You're the only you. You're the only one that God has called to do you. You got to stop waiting on other folk to understand you. Everybody ain't going to understand you. As a matter of fact, you don't understand yourself. Amen. You do things that surprise you every now and then. Am I right about it? You have a God who has said to you, trust me, I got you. No hair on your head will be harmed. Trust me, I got you. I sent you there as a watchman. Trust me. I sent you as a warrior. Trust me. I'm waiting on you as a worshiper. Trust me. Y'all ain't talking to me. And God is saying, if you just stay in position, if you keep undertaking your purpose and always remember to praise me, I got you. Come on and talk to me. That's why the Bible says when the praises go up, blessings come down. God knows if you just praise him, I got you. If you just do what I call you to do, I got you. If you stand still and know that I'm God, I got you. But you can't be running from people and running from ministry and running from threats and running from challenges, because when you run, you get out of position. Sometimes when you make your stand, that's where your help coming. You run, your help come one place, you already gone. Say amen, somebody. How many of you ever been in a situation and call mama or call auntie and they say, stay right there, I'm coming. Stay right there. They mean stay. What they ask you, where you at? I'm up on the corner of Florida and such and such. Stay right there. I'm coming. But you leave there and they show up and you gone, you done missed your help. You got to stay in position. Elijah also helps us understand. I'm going on. He has what all of us deal with, emotions. I'm really convinced, Jennifer, that part of the problem of our church is that too many of us are stuck in our emotions. We're feeling some kind of way about stuff. And we're stuck. Still trying to deal with how I feel about a thing and how I told you last week, you got to work on your why. You got to work on that, but you can't let emotions empty you of your ability to serve God. Some of us just tired. Our emotions have just worn us down. People got under our skin and people hurt our feelings or people said something about us. And now we all swole up with emotion and we've lost sight of our calling. I just can't deal with people. You got to deal with people. That's where the ministry is. I just don't like being around them. You got to be around them. That's where the ministry is. I'm sick and tired of going up there. You got to go up there. That's where the ministry is. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Our emotions will mess us up. How many ever been emotional and made a bad choice? Said something you ought not have said. Did something you ought not have did. Because your emotions got the best of you. Elijah, we understand. His emotions caused him to lose his courage and become almost a coward. Fellas, I could talk to you all about this. I usually do when I talk about him because, you know, no man want to be known for running from a girl. All the fellas, they going to put you at the pool hall. You can't come to this barbershop no more. You can't wash your car here. You can't come and play ball with us no more because you ran from a girl. Come on, fellas. You just soon stand there and fight rather than run. Somebody will say, well, you know, she hit like a man, so you fought her like a man. There's some women can throw down, brothers. Don't underestimate these small packages. Amen. Just put your hand down. The reality for us is our emotions can take our courage and relegate us to being cowards. He runs. And during his self-imposed sanction, it is there that God reminds him, hey, I got you. Some of you can testify there too. I'm about done. I'm gone. Some of you can testify that even when you got out of position, God was still your provider. God said, I got you. God started the first meals on wings by sending a raven. Here it is. God is saying to Elijah, I know where you are. And let me throw this out there real quick because I ain't got much time. But no matter where you go, God knows where you are. You can't hide from God. And listen, because he knows where you are, he will not take away from you what he told you to do. Amen. You have an assignment. And just because you hide don't mean God gonna void out the assignment. No, God gonna keep you on assignment. He may have to reallocate some things, but he knows where you are. And so God sends the raven, and raven comes every day. And here's what's really wonderful. So that Elijah does not fade away, God keeps favor on his life. Elijah didn't even think about it, Arnita, because if you go out in a place in a famine, ain't no food. The word famine and food kind of go together. Elijah just scared. He winds up sitting by a brook. Ain't no grocery store out there. Ain't no provisions out there. Because of her. Because of a challenge. But God said, I got you. How many know that God can feed you in a desert place? You can be fed in a desert place when the favor of God is on your life. And the favor of God is on your life because God chose favor on your life. It ain't manipulated. You don't have to try to impress anything upon God in order for God to give you favor. You know what God really wants you to do? Just trust it. Every day the raven shows up and sacrifices himself. I don't know if they make girl ravens, so I'm going to say himself. The raven fully understands, I'd imagine, that he gonna die. The raven didn't come with a package tucked under his wings. He is the package. Now, let me help some of y'all understand this one, too. This is a bonus in the preaching. Some of you are the raven. Is that quiet everybody got right there? Some of you are the sacrifice. But you ought to be glad that God will use you as a sacrifice. If you're going to go out serving God. If you're going to die, die serving God. If you're going to perish, let me perish. But I'm going out serving God. And some of us don't want to be the raven. But that's your assignment to be the raven. Your assignment is to take care of somebody who can't take care of themselves. Your assignment is to nourish somebody who's hungry and thirsty and in a desert place. Your assignment is to bring raiment to somebody who have lost their reserves. And if you serve God as a raven, you'll get a raven's reward. God honors sacrifice. Some of us don't want to be the raven. But here it is, and I'll be done. Elijah, God loves him so much that even though Elijah has made some mistakes along the journey, it is his departure that really caught my attention. Because even when you mess up sometime, you might mess up, but God don't mess up. You might get out of position, but God don't mess up. You may not fully today understand your purpose, but God don't mess up. You may not even have been a good praiser, but God don't mess up. Here's what God said. God says to all of us, I made you. And because I made you, I manage you. And because I manage you, ain't no mistakes. Y'all ought to be shouting right there. And because I made you manager and there are no mistakes, I know how to bring about your miracle. I know how when circumstances and situations have caused you to get out of position, I know how to make your miracle. Somebody sitting in this room right now know that you are alive as a miracle. You are still here as a miracle. Because you could have been dead and sleeping in your grave because of the stuff you did to your body, the stuff you've done with your mind, the things you've done in your life. But God kept you here because you are his representation that I can do it even when you won't do it for yourself. Elijah messed up, Audrey. Made some mistakes, but God used it. And it is how Elijah leaves that says so much. Because the Bible records him as the man caught up by chariots and horses that were set on fire. He left here in a blaze of glory because God loved him. Elijah's gone, didn't even get a proper funeral, just caught up by God. And some of us need to understand that God is trying to use you and elevate you. And what God's going to do in your life, nobody will understand. But you've got to let him use you. So here it is. James comes on scene. Now I got to go. James says, well, what's the answer? What is the lesson we can learn? Three things you can learn from Elijah. One is you must understand that your presence is required. You got to at least show up. Okay, y'all missed that. You got to at least show up. I told you, Elijah just showed up. Don't know where he come from. Don't know his pedigree. But you got to at least show up. Yesterday, still quiet. So I got to say it again. Your presence is required. We would never talk about you if you don't ever show up. We'll never know what you could have done if you don't ever show up. We'll never know what your gift or ability or talent is if you don't ever show up. Thank you, Sister Price. You and your sister seem to get it. Everybody else looking at me like I'm crazy. You got to at least show up. Elijah showed up. God used it. Second thing is you've got to put into practice your purpose. You got to put into practice. Listen, you're not going to be good at it the first time you show up. First time you try to do ministry, first time you lead a prayer, first time you sing a song, or first time you preach a sermon. No, but you put into practice based on purpose. Look at the name and say, you got to get good. Yeah, you got to get good. You weren't expected to show up as a professional. You were first called to be the student, the learner. You were called to learn how to do this. That's why Jesus said the first order of business is to learn of me. That what you've been doing on your own, that's fine and dandy. That's just something you had to do that I got here. But now that Jesus is in your life, you got to learn of him. Is that quiet everybody is? Some of y'all good at what you do. You're good on your little job. That's fine. You can cook. You can sew. But now that Jesus is in your life. Or the question might be, is Jesus in your life? Because when he shows up, he redefines purpose. Jesus has a way of redefining purpose. Look at anybody's life. I don't have time. I got a long list here, but I can see y'all getting bored. But I'm telling you now, every time Jesus showed up in anybody's life, he redefined their purpose. Can I give you an example? He said, listen, you've been fishers catching fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's a redefinition of purpose right there. He says to Paul, he said, you know what? You've been a good persecutor, but now I'm going to make you a proclaimer. That's the redefinition right there. You need to understand that God will never show up in your life and leave it untouched. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I might as well sit down. Y'all ain't saying nothing. God shows up to redefine and to define your purpose. So you put purpose to practice. That's why I love preaching. That's my purpose. I put it into practice. I've gotten better at it. Everything you do is understanding, putting purpose and practice together so you can become professional. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we can do all things. How are you going to ever do all things if you don't do anything first? You can't get to all till you do any. Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all ain't talking to me. You are not here just to be here. Your presence is about your purpose, and your purpose must be put into practice so that God can get the glory out of purpose and practice in your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. And then third thing, I'll sit down. I might as well sit down. Third thing is that once you understand your presence, once you understand putting practice and purpose together, you must understand that it requires your full participation. Elijah didn't do nothing else. The disciples didn't do nothing else. Everybody who became purpose and position driven focused only on the kingdom of God. So that's why James says what he says. James said, if you get close to God, God will get close to you. That's your position. You want to sit at the feet of God. You want to be in God's company. You want to hear what he is saying to the church. Your full participation is required. You can't be part-time with God. No, I ain't getting amens I thought I'd get. You will rise, you will fall. You'll go in, you'll go out, but you're going to need God. You can't do none of that. You can't even breathe without God. He is the air that you breathe. He is the atmosphere of which you exist. Because if it had not been the Lord, you would not be here. Can't do it part-time. Paul says, this is the atmosphere. This is what we're ultimately trying to be in our objective. We want to be more than conquerors. If Paul and Elijah had met before Elijah talked to Ahab, Elijah's life might have been a little different. If Paul had said to Elijah, boy, you're more than a conqueror. Cowardice and conqueror don't go together. This church languishes. This church suffers and struggles because too many cowards and not enough conquerors. Too many of you are afraid of your assignments. You're afraid of the allocation that God has put in your life. Everything God gave you ain't just for you. Okay, that's five of y'all. Your full participation is required. That's why God never leaves us. That's why he always watches over us. How would you ask God to be full-time in your life and you be sometime in his life? Come on, some of y'all wake up, please. Wake your neighbor up and tell him that man preaching up there. You can't expect more from him than you're willing to give him when he gives you everything that you got. God has never asked us to give him anything that he has already not given unto us. You can't say I can do all things and hadn't done anything. Your full participation. God has positioned us to be lights. God has positioned us as Nehemiahs. I'm going to sit down. I knew this was going to happen. You sit here Sunday after every other Sunday. Not one Thursday. We had 8 people in Bible study on Thursday. 8 people. Don't make no sense. How are we going to be led by God when we won't learn about God? How are we going to listen when we're not in the place where he's speaking to us? What could be more important in your life than God? Because without God, you ain't got no life. We're not lacking purpose, Lewis. We're lacking positions. There's a lot to be done, but nobody wants to get in position. And the ones who get in position won't stay in position because we get emotional. I ain't know I had to do all that. I ain't come for that. You come for what we tell you to do. You don't know this kind of work. You ain't never done this before. How can you come into ministry and you've never done ministry and tell us what you didn't come for? That's why we explain it to you if you stay long enough. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. But before I go, Lord, tell me what to do when I get there. Your full participation is required. And James says, here's the answer. God knows us. James says, read the letter. Read chapter 4. Take time, read it. But he makes a couple of observations, first about their presence. Let me tell you why, Sister Mary, why presence lacks around here. And it's right there in the verses that follow. James says, here's your problem. You got too much friendship with the world. It's right there. Read your Bible. He said, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? If you want to be a friend of the world, you're going to make yourself an enemy with God. What he's saying is your presence is going to be conflicted because you're going to spend all your time hanging around with the world and ain't going to have no time left for God. Okay, you missed it. Here it is. Read the next verse. He said, his problem, your loyalty is divided between God and the world. That's a presence issue. You don't show up at your house like you show up at church, do you? Bet you go home every day. Bet you eat every day. Bet you get a little money in your pocket. But you treat God as a maybe, I'll go. I told you, work on your why, not work on your where. Because if you're not in the presence of God, where are you? You hanging out with your friends. That means you ain't hanging out with God. James said it. Don't get mad at me. Write James an email. James said, not your baby James, darling, but James. James said, you got a problem of conflicted presence. You hang out with your friends. Some of y'all friends call y'all right now and say, let's take a little ride. Okay. Your friend calls you, I'm going to stop by this afternoon. Come on by. Bring a little something, you know. presence. Don't come around here empty-handed, girl. All right, I got you. I know what your thing is. Your loyalty to the world. Some of you are an organization. I'm sitting down now because I know I'm going to make you mad right here. Some of you are in organizations. You go to every meeting. You do whatever they ask you to do. They say we're going to wash cars. You go wash cars. They say we're going to go to this. You go. You put your little uniform on. Everybody color coordinated. But you don't do that with God. Some of y'all, come on, talk to him. He said, your problem is presence. You show up for all the stuff they got. You got a title over there. You Mr. President and you Lord so-and-so and worshipful this and all that. And you show up for all of that. In fact, you not only current on your dues, you gave a little extra. But you won't even tithe in God's church. When they had the big ball and the big soiree at the end of the year at the annual so-and-so, you were front and center at the head table. You were the toastmaster. But you don't even come to the Lord's communion. In your organization, you're a big ball and a shot caller. You done worked your way up through the ranks. And the only way you worked your way up through the ranks is because you were consistent. You didn't get to be president or vice president with jacked up service. You worked your, you were there. You were grinding it out. You were trying to get to the top. And yet you come to God's church and you don't even care to make Bible study. You know the bylaws front and back. Now don't look at your name and roll your eyes. I'm up here. I'm up here. I'll take it today. Because your presence is a problem when it comes to God. But they count on you. You got keys to the organization. You got the file box. You know the password. You carry the money. But when it comes to God, we can't find you. You've been a member for 30 years. Got your little pin. You done moved up the ranks. You got the silver cord and the gold cord. And you got all of the belts and all of the accompaniments. But you don't know nothing about God. Your presence is a conflict because you love the world. Because when they see you, they give you the handshake and the knock and all that, but you can't do that for God. Because your presence, your friends mean more than your father. You listen to your friends, but you won't listen to your father. Look how y'all looking at me. Look how y'all looking at me. I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. It's right here. He said, your problem is your loyalty has been divided and God lost. Got your little stick on the back of your car. Got your little badges across the back of your car. Got your little stuff in the car so when people walk by, they can see that you're one of them. You got your ring and all that, but you ain't got nothing that say you belong to God. You don't even want to dress for church anymore. Your presence. You're in a conflict. And then your practice is off. Because you hadn't done a work for the kingdom since you did your Easter speech in 73. The last thing you said for God was an Easter speech. You don't talk about him in your house. You don't talk about him on your job. Hey, on my job, Rem, we can't talk about the Lord. The devil is a liar. People around there blessing God all day. Thank you, Lord. They didn't get me for being late. No, praise God, I made it. No, don't tell me you can't talk about God. You don't want to talk about God. That's how you fall out of practice. Look how y'all looking at me. James said, he said, you all are adulterers. You're in a relationship with God and you cheating on him. It's in your Bible. Read it. He said, you playing a game that ain't going to work out for you. I'm going to sit down, Chris. Here's what Luke says. Luke says, nobody can serve two masters. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. He said, because you're going to either hate one and love the other one. Trying to love two, Jess, sure ain't easy to do. And some of y'all, the way y'all looking at me, the way y'all serve him, lack thereof, the way y'all presence is around here, lack thereof. The way y'all don't practice, lack thereof. you don't love him. Your practice gives you away. What we see you doing is what you are, an adulterer. We see you cheating and lying on God. We see you slipping out on God. Some of us can't even stay for a whole worship service. Some of us ain't never been to a Bible study. But you'll go to everything else. You'll drive all the way up to D.C. and fight traffic to go to a concert or a game and go to the memorial and the museum. But you can't come to church. And it's right down the street from your house. It's on your daily path. Your practice is bad. I'm done. I'm going to sit down. Here's the last one. Participation. If you ain't doing kingdom, you ain't in the kingdom. How you going to be in the kingdom and not do kingdom? That's like being married and not do marriage. That's like being a father and not be a father. How you do that? Elijah did that thing. The disciples, they did that thing. Everybody else, look at their history. You can see who they were based on what they did. Even Pope Peter, that little girl looked at him and said, oh, yeah, you one of them. I can tell the way you look. I can tell what you do. Your mouth gives you away. The way you sitting there by that fire gives you away. You've been with him. Some of us, whole idea of serving God, not an interest to us. Some of you sitting here today, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to sit down. I'll tell you why. I'll take it in kind of way. You won't give it to me after this. But I'm telling you now, the reason why this church looks like it looks now is because I won't tell a lie. Some of y'all sitting here are going to do with a whole bunch of money. I ain't coming back. This ain't no Christmas gravy train. My responsibility to God is not to make you feel all warm and fuzzy and just clap your hand and throw your head back and make all these false promises. This God is not a God only of prosperity. God ain't only supposed to just give you what you want. When will he get some of what he wants? That's right. Three of y'all. Appreciate y'all. That's where I don't go. I'm going somewhere else. Well, go get your ego stroked. Go sit up in them shout houses and lying preachers and all them false prophets. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because this is my responsibility to cry loud. Spare not. You want a preacher that's going to just make you feel good? When I retire, get you one. And I'm starting to think more about retirement, so you ain't going to have to wait long. Oh, yeah. I'm tired. This don't make no sense to me. I'm too good a preacher for this. I'm smarter than 99 of them around here. Put my heart into this work, and I shouldn't do it by myself. Yeah, ain't nobody should outgrow us. Nobody should outgrow us. I've talked to enough of them to know better. But if the truth is what's going to kill us, we're going to die good. Because I'm not compromising on the truth. Our presence, our purpose practice, and our full participation, that's all God wants. And I've said it before, if you change the way you think, you're going to change the way you live. Just admit you've been thinking about this wrong. This ain't about emotions. All our feelings gonna get hurt. That's why you get them, so they can get hurt. Get over it. Last thing is, you have to understand that your life is all about promise. That's how we can do it, man. If you make the presence effort, if you make the purpose practice effort, if you go full participation, you will find your life covered by promise. That's why they couldn't kill Elijah. That's why they couldn't starve him. That's why they couldn't get to David. That's why they couldn't get rid of Jeremiah. That's why Isaiah said, I'll do it. Because he realized that with promise, I can make it. That's why Jesus didn't get shook. He said, oh, they want me. They sought to kill me. But they can't do it. Because there's a promise on my life that until I have finished my presence, until I have finished my practice, until I have finished participation, I can't leave here till my works are done. Some of y'all want to have a good long life? Hook up with Jesus. Go in business with God and watch what your life starts to look like. Amen. Get in position. Don't shift. Don't waver. And stop looking around. Do you first. You're going to Bible study. Stop waiting on people to give you an agreement. Stop waiting on people to get an alliance. Make your alliance first with God. Get on God's agenda first. All right, that's seven of y'all. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm done. That's why I started early, so I get all my time, and you can still go home before 1 o'clock. Oh, yeah, I know how to play y'all game. Well, you ain't going to be here past 1 o'clock today. I just start a little earlier. Get my time. I'm trying to help y'all. I'm really trying to help y'all. I keep asking God, why you won't let me go? Why I can't go nowhere else? I want out. He said, nope. Nope, not going to let you go till you finish. When you finish, I'll show you what I got next. But you can't get next till you finish now. Amen. You know what I mean? Everybody else leaving, I'm going to leave too. God said, nope. My wife said something to me the other night, and God stirred me all the way home. She was tired. She worked hard. I'm going to let y'all go. And I'm talking about my wife, so you can't say nothing. Lord, they can't talk about me, talk about nobody, because I'm talking about my wife. But my wife said, you know, she worked the double. She said, honey, I'm not going to make Bible. She said, I'm tired. I'm hurting. They got new people over there. You know, Ozilia, how it is. They done gave her these old rough jokers, some joke over there running and chase. She got to chase and all that kind of stuff and all kind of crazy stuff. And I'm waiting on one of them to hurt my wife. And y'all will read about me in the paper. I'm going to do the shame. Put their hands on my wife in the wrong way. You know, she done wrestled a couple of them, but I'm waiting on to have to go by Lynchburg General, and you ain't got to worry about me preaching that Sunday. Let's Pat Price and Starling make my bail. But she came home. She said, I'm tired. I said, well, I guess I'll count on my regular 9. And she said, well, honey, tonight I ain't going to be able to, so you'll have 8. And we were making a joke about it. And I come to Bible study. And it's 8. I said, that woman done prophesied over my Bible study. But the point I'm making is I got in the car. And I'm frustrated. I'm saying to God. And I told a story earlier about Miss Shepherd. That lady blessed me Thursday. That lady, look, she's a Caucasian woman. Been coming. She's told me so many things. I'm not going to label you because I'm running out of time. But I got in the car and I said, God, this is crazy. God said to me, I gave you 8. I trust you. Because what's going to happen to the 8 if you don't do what I told you to do? And you don't know what I got next, but I gave you 8. And it shouldn't surprise you. And I thought about that all the way home. And I said to God, okay, next week if it's 7, I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. Because I know you're going to say something. But I'll be here for the 7. I'll be here for the 6, for the 5, for the 4, for the 3, the 2, and the 1. And I'll be here when I'm all by myself. Because I understand my position. I understand my purpose. And I'm going to keep on giving him the praise. I got home. I got out the car and I laughed. I throw my head back and yelled up toward heaven, God, you so funny. No lightning bolts, no thunder. He didn't get mad. He just knows that's my emotion. But my full participation is what we're going to do to the end. We don't cut bait on God. Anything get cut, we cut the world. But James said, you better watch your loyalties. Full participation. Purpose, practice. Presence, you got to at least show up. Standing there with the refrigerator wide open, talking about ain't nothing in here to eat. You just don't want to do the effort. Get them eggs. Crack them, stir them, put some salt and pepper on it. Make your egg sandwich and go sit down somewhere. Ain't nothing in here to drink. Milk, water, grape juice. There's something in there to drink. You just stand there looking, gazing. You're just too lazy. Stop being lazy. Amen. We're going home. Let's stand on our feet together. You gotta say nothing. I know. But you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't go to church either. I'll let some of y'all figure that out on your way home. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't go to church either. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't go to Bible study. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't tithe. If I wasn't a Christian. You think about what I'm really saying. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't do none of that stuff. If I wasn't a Christian, on Sunday, I'd be washing my car, waiting on the game to come on. If I wasn't a Christian on Thursday, I'd be waiting on the blacklist. It don't come on till 10 o'clock, but I'll sit there and wait. So I can't be nowhere 6:30, Reverend. I got to wait on the blacklist, wait on scandal. Really? You ever heard of DVR? Reverend Gray's Anatomy, I got to. Ain't no way you can't be in Lynchburg in 30 minutes. Even if you come all the way from Evington, by the time you leave Bible study, right about 7:45, you can get home in time to see anything you want to see on Thursday. On Wednesday, noonday, you riding around goofing off. I ain't going up no noonday. Okay, I wasn't a Christian. I wouldn't go noonday either. Especially if I'm off and ain't got nothing else to do. I'd go watch a movie maybe. I wasn't a Christian. On Sunday morning, when the weather get real good, oh, I'd be at Virginia Beach. I'd leave Saturday, beat the traffic, if I wasn't a Christian. But since I am, I think I'll go to church every Sunday. I think I'll go to Bible study. I think it's right to tithe unto God. You know, last week, my mind plays tricks on me, Deacon Anderson. I left my checkbook in the other car. I thank God I got other cars to drive, really, because I'm a Christian. He give me stuff. And I got up, I said, I got to remember. I put some money in church, though, didn't I? I didn't say, well, I ain't got my checkbook. But when they pull my check, it's going to be twice what it's supposed to be because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to say, well, that last Sunday. No, I owe God $740. And they'll count it back there. It's going to say $740. Because I'm a Christian. Tithing is part of my full participation. Amen. Those of you who got cars, just because you don't drive them, do allies say don't pay this month? Those of you who because you want in your house a week, do they deduct the week's mortgage? So why you do God like that? Since you didn't come last Sunday, you don't owe God his tithe? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Okay. I know this. I didn't lie. Kept my book open. Did my research. You got to at least show up. And purpose and practice, they merge. That's how you get good at it. And if you don't do it wholeheartedly, give your whole self to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it all you got. You know, it takes more effort to be lazy than it does to really just go and get it over with. It does. It takes more effort not to go to church on Sunday than it really takes to go to church on Sunday. Because you'll be sitting around your house going, well, Lord, I ain't got nothing, bored. Go to church. Clap. Praise God. Then when you get home, you can enjoy your meal and say, you know, I had a good service today. That old preacher said something. I got to think about that. I better go back next week and make sure I'm sure about that thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't cut your grass and see what happens. Don't wash dishes and see what happens. Just get it over. Just do it. And you're in this room today. I know. I feel you. Swords and daggers. If some of y'all had a pistol, y'all would have shot me. I'll loan you mine. You better not miss. All I can tell you, because I got backup. Deacon Anderson is here with me today. Amen. Duly authorized. But trust me in this. I'm just being funny. Trust me in this. Elijah proves it. James addresses it. Let's answer the question. Am I present? Am I putting purpose and practice into play? And does God have my full participation? Because only what we do for Christ. Father, thank you for this people all around this room. They are free to go. But Lord, what will they do when they leave? What shall we say unto these things? God, be for us. Lord, touch their lives. Bring them back to the altar. Give them back the joy. Remind them of the calling and election. Remind them that they all have vocation. No life is wasted here. No one's useless or not needed. Remind them that if they ask, it will be given. If they seek, they'll find. Remind them that they are to walk worthy and to be holy. And what you've done in the life of one, you have also made available in the lives of others. You're no respecter of person. That's what your word teaches us. We have not because we've asked not. And God, quite honestly, today, we've got two or three more defectors, and it's going to happen. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but I'll stay. I'll stay until you come. I'll keep trying, and I pray, God, that others will try with me. You're so wonderful to us. What is man that thou art mindful of him, having made him just a little lower than the angels? God, use me. Use us. But I want you to start with me. I want you to take me first so that I can get my business straight, and then I can go and witness to others. So, Lord, help us, but help me first. Let me put my mask on before I try to help somebody with theirs. Let me gird up my loins before I help someone with theirs. Let me make my calling and election sure before I criticize others about theirs. Let me walk worthy. Let me stand tall. Let me get up on the wall and cry loud before I complain about others and their silence, lack of presence. Let me get my labor straight. Get my hands busy again. Let your name be glorified. Bless those who are among us today. And then there are sick. Our preacher had to leave today, Lord. She was not feeling well at all. So we know your presence is with her. Sister Royal, Sister Amanda and her son, Timothy, and Sister Richburg, now in a facility where recuperating can begin. Our brother Jesse is with us today. There's so many, Lord, that have called upon your name. Sister Ware, our sister Lucille is with us today. We pray for Marpo's son there in Tennessee. Pray for Myra Cobbs and her family as they continue, Lord, to recover from what they have missed in love. So many around us, Lord, called upon your name. Ask others to pray for me and remember me. For Sister Penn, Lord, who has certainly been a presence with us for so many years, but now, Lord, the years have become a little more difficult, but you're still God. For Sister Nowlin, whom we miss so dearly when her presence is not here. And Lord, again, there are so many others. We're very thankful to see Sister Hayes with us today. Miracle in a testimony all alone. To look around the room and to see what you are doing in the lives of your children. Brought Brother Anderson back to us safely. Got soldiers all over the world. Wives are waiting for husbands. Sons and daughters are waiting for their dads, waiting for their moms. Lord, be a fence around our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine Coast Guard service members. Heal the sick among us. Names I did not mention, names I may not know of, circumstances and situation, trials and tribulation, heartaches and pain. Loss of income, loss of opportunity, layoffs and shutdowns, terminations for cause. Whatever it may be, Lord, they need you. We're going to call first upon your name. Lord, hear our cry. Touch our bodies. Touch our sons and daughters. Touch our families. Lord, heal us. We're so wounded by life. Heal us. But Lord, don't take the calling off our life. Use me. Use me, Lord. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody around the neck. Say something nice to somebody. And we pray, God, we'll see you on Thursday or Wednesday. To God be the glory. Amen.